Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon, I got Brett, I got Kyle, and we have another special guest.
Woohoo!
So we have actually one of the most requested returners ever. Very special person, one of my favorite people to mess around with. Returning to the show, welcome back, Carol Ferguson. Welcome back, Carol.
Thank you, thanks. Thanks the for asking champ. Me back. Thanks, Jeremy, for the shout outs, okay?
So the last time that Carol was on, we kind of left her with some action steps. And Brett, would you like to share with us what one of those action steps was?
I don't remember all of them, but one of them, I just encouraged her to take the Hearing God's class. I was taking it. There's a bunch of people taking it. And so I said, Carol, you should just take it. It'll be fun, I think.
No, it wound up being awesome, Brent. So thanks for encouraging me to take it, because I was on the fence of guarding to take it or not. And we were separated into how many people we had? Four people total. But that, I can't say the names, right? So anyways,
yes, we'd probably prefer not to say the names.
Okay, but we connected so well, and it was really profound, and so it was an awesome class. So encourage people to take it, and whenever he's going to have his next class.
So he may or may not be having a part two. So he for sure is going to have the Hearing God's Voice, the class you took. We're doing that, and that'll be announced pretty soon. That'll be end of April, May, like our regular Kingdom class. Yeah. But there's word on the street that there might be a part two coming out sooner or later.
And in order to take the part two, you have had to have taken part one. So if you haven't taken part one and you're interested in taking part two, you're going to have to take it this round.
It will be by invite only based on your attendance to the first one.
Dang.
It really helps with hearing the Lord.
Oh, absolutely.
Or the fear of the Lord. Not hearing the Lord, but the fear of the Lord also.
Hearing the Lord helps with fearing the Lord.
Yeah, it does.
Do you want to expand on that?
let's dig into that,
So how?
can we cut this part? Whenever I read the Old Testament, especially, you start off with Exodus, is that, and the God's doing, like, amazing things and feeding and parting of the Red Sea and just destroying people because they don't follow him. So that really put a fear in me but because he was also powerful and he could strike you down any minute and then, what?
you're still keep going. Okay, so Carol, since you took the class, after the class, we were like, we need to have you come on and share some of the things that you learned in Pastor Barry's class. What was the most profound thing that you felt like helped your faith in taking that class?
I always knew I could hear the Lord. I think it gave me our group that gave me the accountability because we kept everybody accountable. Mm. So it's kind of hard because then, once you start, you kind of like, I'm going to hear the Lord every day, blah, blah. And then you write, have my little notebook and everything. And then it kind of drops off. But then our kind of group leader kind of brings us back. And then we always, just try to encourage. But, it was just being part of that group. It's just learning. Like, I didn't really know to the people really well, but we connected and we had some crying time and that was good. It wasn't really like, I don't know. It's like, but that's all God, right? I mean, I could have sat with Brett and whatever.
We probably would have had some crying times too.
I saw you. I did see you tearing up, but it just gets all emotional. With the connection, mm-hmm. And that's another thing I have with the question about people and Christians too.
Yeah, regarding this. I think having that deeper intimacy and connection with the Lord through journaling, through hearing his voice, mm-hmm. it helps us wrestle with these harder topics too, because mm-hmm. we have had that other aspect and we know that part is valid and real, but then there's these other parts that feel maybe harder, or even some of the stuff you described earlier is almost sound harsh. So then it helps us to have like the counter, kind of the balance to those things.
Oh, about God's God's power, mm-hmm.
His love, his justice. You know,
like I think a lot of people don't want to like think about, well, God's not going to do that to me because I've already accepted Jesus.
Yeah, no, I know. Well,
he's not going to kill me, but I mean, you know, well,
even,
he's not
even
gonna,
going that far. But right? Even punishment, even consequences, right. And things like that.
There will be judgment. I mean, when he brought up Revelations, because you know BSF is doing Revelations this year, so that kind of spoke to me too, because there is judgment, and it's not like judgment is always like bad judgment, but there is judgment. It's
accountability.
Yeah,
you have to be accountable for things.
But the Bible uses judgment. Mm-hmm. But it's not like a punishable thing. It's kind of like a good thing. So, well, yeah.
For good and bad, you have to be accountable for it.
Well, of course, if you're a Christian, the whole point of, okay, you're accepting Jesus, and then the fear of the Lord, well, he makes me stay on that path, mm-hmm. even though I wander a lot. You guys remember the cartoon with the angel and the devil?
Oh, yeah.
So, it's kind of like that with me. It's he encourages me to stay on. God encourages me to stay on.
So hearing his voice helps you more because you're more in tune with his voice.
Yeah. And more so now because it just hits me. Mm-hmm. It just... And that's another thing I want to ask.
Well, let's get started then.
I know.
Let's go. Like, how do you want to get this rolling?
I don't know.
So when we got here, Carol said, I have all these questions that, okay, you can take the lead on some of these and be like, we've always encouraged people, if they have questions, to come on and ask us the questions so we can talk about them. Carol has a lot of questions. She's been listening to recent episodes. She's been watching all of the sermons. So she's got, and she's read the book. So she's got quite a few questions about this topic of awe of God. So we're continuing our awe of God.
And yes, most of them are directed towards Brett. So just
you can ask all the questions you want. You just have to be ready if some of the answers are, I don't know.
Or if the answers are things you might not like.
Or I'll refer you to, you should maybe go ask Pastor Barry.
Oh, you need to take Pastor Barry's round two class.
All right, so do you have one you want to start with, Carol? Or Damon, do you have something you want to start with? Or
yeah, why don't I look at my notes.
Okay, so one question that I have is actually for Kyle.
Uh-oh.
Nice.
And it's, since you spoke this past week, is there something that really you wanted to talk about but you didn't have time for?
You know what? I knew you'd ask me this. I should have prepared for it.
Well, Kyle, I want to let you know that was the best message that I heard on Monday.
And folks,
because Brett out of 500, because you squeezed 500 in.
Brett wasn't in service on Sunday because he was working with the Forge.
So,
and
I listened to your message.
So he listened to it on Monday because he knew we were going to talk about it.
Thank you, Brett. I appreciate that word of affirmation. I don't know if there's just one thing. It's just the depth of the concept of God's holiness. It's there's so much more on a lot of the things I said. There's a lot more I could have gone deeper. I think that's the hard part. But I didn't feel like any of them required that I needed to go deeper, because I needed to give more ideas for people to chew on themselves. So I went more of that way. It's good. I think one thing, I think it's in the book on day three, kind of that's the idea about the slippery slope. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of like my own personal thing that God convicted me of. The ponder point in that, it's So in the back of the, or at the end of each day, there's like these points, ponder, prayer, and different things. The ponder is, question was this, backsliding doesn't occur the moment a person finds themselves in bed with somebody they don't have a marriage covenant with. It doesn't start the moment a person finds themselves embezzling money from their employer. It starts long before, when you begin to tolerate what Jesus gave his life to free us from. What do I tolerate that Jesus died to set me free from? I think that slippery slope idea with the idea of holiness, that God hates sin. Mm. Like that idea that he can't even be around it. And so when I partner with it, and I'm gonna slip and fall, and God's grace covers it. But each time I do that, that's a barrier between us, but that's also the potential for a start of a slippery slope, so to speak.
That's heavy.
And then there's also repentance. I don't know why people, I'm not picking on you, but sure. when I listen to people talk about, oh, I'm just really sorry for what I did. I sinned against God. But repentance, I mean, you know, going to God and say, oh, Lord, why the heck did I do this? And please help me not do this anymore. You know, get on your knees or whatever and just, like, show me the way that I should be. And but I think people do it. It's just, they just don't use that word repentance. And that's what I see in the Bible.
Well, what is repentance? Like, how would you define that?
Oh, just whatever the sin that you did against God. I mean, why would you sleep with someone that's not your husband I'm looking at your wife. And then go to God and say, you know, I did this. Help me transform, help me change. What can I do? Who can I go to? And just lay your heart out. Have that conversation with God. It's like, why did I do that? I mean, that's what I do when I'm dealing with something. And it keeps coming back. And I'm like, why do I keep doing this? Why?
Yeah, so like repentance is really turning away from. So it's turning in a
turning away from the sin.
The opposite direction. So that's the part, like, if you don't see people changing and they keep doing the same thing, you get frustrated, right?
Okay, so then I don't get that part where, okay, you're a Christian, mm-hmm. and you know it's bad, mm-hmm. and you don't repent?
Yeah, so not repenting is part of it, but then it's also even looking back to, well, what were the other steps along the way that led to that? Because it's probably not from nothing to that. It's like this journey of little compromise, bigger compromise.
That's your slippery slope.
Uh-huh.
So
once you start down with a small compromise, it opens the door to, okay, well, that you get used to it. And then, I can just compromise a little bit more. And so the longer it takes you to realize it and then have repentance, the farther along the journey you are, which makes it harder because you've already kind of minimized or accepted certain standards that you probably shouldn't have or even wouldn't, and God wouldn't want you to.
Okay, so the fear, we'll just stick with the adultery stuff. Say with the first.
Well, okay, listen, I think adultery maybe a harder one, but like, let's do embezzlement was his other one.
Embezzlement. Yeah. Okay, embezzlement or stealing. Sorry, Brent. Right. No, you're just okay. Newly married. Don't listen to it. But okay, so embezzlement. So I used to work at a market and then, you know, people would open packages and, oh, it's a pen. I put it in my pocket and da, da, da. And then, I accidentally took it home. Well, that's stealing. Mm-hmm. I wasn't a Christian then. But anyways, so not that that makes any difference. But that, okay, so that's one thing is like I stole. Mm-hmm. Okay, so then now if I did that, God, I don't know, the fear of God, whatever, God would say, that's not yours. You can go put it back or return it to its owner or whatever. What are you laughing,
conviction,
Brent?
Right? He brings conviction.
Yeah. I mean, but what happened? What happened to that conviction?
Well, I think some of that can even be tied back to your, you experiencing the God, hearing God's voice, right? If we don't recognize God's voice, we don't know when his conviction's even coming, and we're not even trying to listen for it. That's an aspect of it.
Okay.
Some of it could be just, I choose not to because it's going to be hard, or I kind of actually like the benefits of the things I know I'm not supposed to be doing.
Okay. But this is you being a Christian.
Sure.
I mean, that would be like some people's train of thought.
Yeah. Right.
But then also too, in that situation, if you were not a Christian before and then you become a Christian, but you aren't ingrained with the truth. Because before that wasn't a big deal. It wasn't a big deal to steal that little, it's just a little pen before, right?
Right.
Become a Christian. But if you haven't learned the truth that's, you know, God says don't steal. If you haven't learned that, then you might think, I'm a Christian, but I still have the same values that I had before, right? And so part of it is learning the truth. So that's why it's important to know or read the Bible and things like that and hear from the Lord so he can give us that conviction. Right. So it's not just like I'm a Christian now, then I'm automatically going to be doing the right things. Well, if you haven't learned the new way or learned a different way,
right,
then you're still going to be potential to live in the old patterns.
But isn't that just a moral standard also? It's like it's not common sense, but isn't that like a moral standard? They tell you since, you know, you don't steal, but people steal, they embezzle.
Well, moral standards change all the time right now.
If we
look in our society, moral standards are changing all the time, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's why we need to have the truth, which is God's word, right?
Mm-hmm. But that, you know, in my message, I talked about the positional holiness and behavioral holiness, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, we're all born with a fallen nature and we live in a fallen world. So there's going to be sin. We're never going to be perfect. So we are going to have these shortcomings. Why does it happen? Because that's part of what sin, the impacts of sin coming into the world. So to answer your question, it's just kind of ingrained in us. But the more we are transformed by God, the more we're going to recognize it, the more we're going to want to repent of it and turn away from it and not have it come between us and God. But it's a process, and sometimes it takes going 2, 3, 4 steps in the wrong direction and then pulling back and go, oh man, why did I do that? Sometimes it might just be one step and it's like, oh no, I'm on the wrong direction already. So I think it varies and it's different for different people and situations.
So it was that your message about on the gold thing? You know, there's
yeah. Like
because we as humans, we cannot be 100% pure.
Right. We're on this pathway, this journey to becoming pure and holy. That's what God calls us to. And Barry at the end, I thought, did a good job. And I was like, oh yeah, I should have included that part in my message, that God designed us to be holy. That's how Adam and Eve were. They were holy. We're created in his image. So we're actually meant to be holy and we actually long for it, but now we're tainted. But when we receive Jesus, we're on that journey towards becoming who God made us to be. And that's a holy being, which we don't get to until we actually see him face to face, right, in heaven. But we're on that process. It's not like a striving to earn it for salvation, but it's a striving to earn it. Like, I want to be who God actually designed me to be.
Right.
Kind of while we're still on this topic. So I was listening to cleansing seminar again this morning. And one of the things that he was talking about is kind of this pattern of the cycle of sin, kind of like you were talking about, like sometimes I'll sin and then I'll say, God, I don't want to do this anymore. And I'll turn around and then, you know, you'll try hard not to do it. And then you end up kind of getting stuck in this cycle. Right. And so there is an aspect that Pastor Timothy talks about in the cleansing seminar is like the spiritual side of it too. And it's not just a will thing for us, but there are spiritual aspects of it too. So one of the things that he talks about is when we sin, what that does is it gives place to the enemy to torment us or tempt us in that way in the future. So that's where in the Bible it says, do not give the enemy a foothold, right? So when we sin, we're actually giving him place in that situation for him to be able to continue to tempt us. So one of the things that Pastor Timothy says is repentance is important. We do want to turn away, but then we also have to renounce the foothold that's there, because we've given place. We've kind of invited it in when we sinned. We've invited the enemy into that place.
We've given him permission.
Yeah, we've given him permission to continue to tempt us or continue to keep us in that cycle. So what we need to do is we need to renounce that foothold, renounce the rights, say we don't give you permission in that, or I don't give you permission in that area anymore. And that will help to get us out of that cycle.
I think the world too does a good job of almost like desensitizing us to sin in a lot of ways. Like sin, I think in certain ways is painting a picture of like, if you sin, you're going to have a bunch of guilt and shame. But there's other times I think when people experience sin, it actually is like fun or feels kind of good, or like, oh, it's not that bad. And as soon as you kind of have those thoughts, I think that's where it allows for those footholds too, where it's like, oh, it wasn't that bad. Like, I didn't get struck down or I didn't hurt anybody. You know, like you can reason it and then
justify it.
Yeah. And as you keep desensitizing to it, then you can go for like that slippery slope you said. You could go further and further. And then it's like what you feel as that's not that bad anymore just gets bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. And then pretty soon, for whatever reason, it's justified in your head, like, oh, yeah, I don't know why I did it, but I didn't feel like it was that bad, or I didn't hurt anyone, or no one would know, or you can compare. Oh, there's worse things that I could have done, right? And so that margin just continues to increase, and then sooner than you know it, you're halfway down the slope when
it's not that bad. I didn't kill anybody.
Yeah, your intention didn't start that way, but it just allows you to, yeah, like you said, kind of go down that path.
Mm-hmm. All right, Carol, do you have another question for us? You guys can't see, but she has this full notebook, and there's like pages and pages of writing on it. So
no,
we got a lot to cover today.
They're mostly quotes of what Damon said on the podcast, so she's going to be challenging him.
And if you want to look it up, I do have the time.
I love it.
Wow.
Oh, the timestamp. Well, she has
that's so impressive.
Man. The timestamp where it's actually, it's just your...
Oh, it's me. Uh-oh.
It's a sermon, service. I think.
Oh, my sermon.
I guess I'm glad I didn't speak or I wasn't on the last podcast episode, so there's no quotes from me in that notebook.
Okay, I there is a question. I highlighted it twice. So
deep one.
Yes.
Kyle, uh-oh. Because of Jesus' blood, he died for the cross, so the blood over us, you are seen as pure and holy in God's eye. So we could come to him. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay.
So we can be in his presence. Yeah.
To like now or when we...
Well, so both. So now...
Or through the Holy Spirit, I guess.
Yeah, now like in the Spirit, that's... I mean, the Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead. So
but we're not pure.
But we are... Our spirit is pure because our spirit is redeemed. Our spirit man, the way we live out that is not, because that's our behavior of holiness. It's not, we're not there yet. We're going to still sin. I think when we were going through this years ago, we said it's going from I'm a sinner to I'm a saint who sometimes sins. So God sees us as a saint, like we're perfect, but yet we still sin.
God sees us that way.
Yes.
I don't see us that way. God sees us.
Well, because you're seeing yourself through like the lens of your behavior and your actions and your thoughts.
Right.
Or the world does too, yeah. But God, because of, he sees us through a lens that's Jesus' blood. And so when he sees us through that, it blots out, I don't want to say erases, because, yeah, there's still going to be that judgment. There's still an account for it. But when he sees us, we can then interact with him, we can encounter him and come into his presence, which in the Old Testament, they had to go through ritual purifications and all of that in that same, to do the same thing, right? And only certain people were actually allowed to do that. But now we actually can do that all the time. But yeah, so go ahead. So the second part is,
you're saying that our sins are gone. You know me and sin. It's like it's not gone. But yes, that's what you're saying.
No, like I just said, there's still
earthly consequences for earthly our consequences, actions,
and there's still going to be an accounting of it at the judgment, good and bad. Like there's going to be this is what you did, right and wrong, but because of what Jesus did, you're able to enter into heaven. But there's still going to be, but this is what you did, and this is what good and bad. It says that in the Bible.
Okay, so I thought that when you believe in Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. he died on the cross, and then I guess so then when you do go to heaven, so your sins are gone. Oh, shoot, I lost my train of thought. So then the judgment part is all the works you do here on earth. Mm-hmm. He's not going to look at your sins, God, when you're in heaven.
He looks at your actions, good and bad. So I would assume bad means your sins, right? He's still going to judge based on that. But because of Jesus' blood, the bad part gets atoned for. But it doesn't mean that there's no accounting or that they're just, that's why I don't want to say they're erased. They're covered, they're accounted
forgiven,
but they're still.
I thought, okay,
okay, so what's your concern over the linguistics? So if it's different than what you had previously thought, what is the concern moving in this direction or hearing what's going on?
Okay, so let's go back to Revelations. So then Revelations is just, it's John's vision of the end times. Mm-hmm. I'm not done with, but so what I'm hearing from class is, when you die, you go to heaven. Your sins are gone. When you get the Burma seat, the white throne part at the end times, then
okay, keep going.
Your God, or I don't know when, but God is going to look at all the good things you have done here on earth. And that's the judgment part. He's not going to look at your bad things. He's not going to look at all the bad things that you did. He's just going to look at the good things. Am I getting that wrong?
I don't think you and Kyle are like off. I think it's just language.
Yeah, I think so too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because so, I mean, what he's saying is, I think the end result is the same between what both of you are saying. The end result is the same, but it's just. There's something getting caught in the language.
I think it's the difference between the positional and behavioral. And so I think, positionally, everything, it's wiped away. It's gone. Behaviorally, there's still behaviors that are maybe sinful.
But that would be gone, too, if you're in heaven.
Once you get to heaven. But the judgment, there's still an accounting. Like it says in, go ahead.
So then I get confused when I go to Bible class. It's like, oh no, all your sins are gone. Everything's hunky-dory. You're in heaven. And I'm not trying to, you know, badmouth the Bible class, but so then everything gets hunky-dory. And then, you know, if you're still not a believer, God's going to get that sickle and chip, chip, chip. And then he gave you so many chances and you still don't want to believe in him. That's it. And the believers go to heaven and the non-believers go to Hades.
So I think part of it too is when we're talking about like the linguistics of it, I think you're kind of both saying similar things, but just in different ways. Mm-hmm. But so for you, Carol, like you're kind of looking at it kind of more of like a black and white issue.
That's
right. And so it's like, well, if what Kyle is saying, then they're still there and there is still room for punishment or something like that. But if you look at it in terms of just even thinking about like time, it's like the Lord will look at, okay, here's when you became a Christian, and here's what you did with the blessings that I've given to you. Mm-hmm. There's ways that you could use it to further his kingdom, or there's ways that you could use it just to further yourself, right? And so the people that are furthering his kingdom, the Bible says they're building up treasures in heaven. So when we get to heaven, that will be the treasure we receive. But if we spend that time furthering ourselves, then we'll just get less treasure in heaven, right? So there is an aspect of judgment because the furthering ourselves, that's kind of sin. So instead of looking at, so there will just be less of the treasures in heaven that you've built up because of what you spent your time doing, right?
Bummer.
I'm good. Well,
no. No, not this.
I mean, 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." Right? So it's, I think part of why I'm using the language I am is that I think it there's an a lack of the fear of the Lord, thinking of, oh, my sins are forgiven, I'm good, doesn't matter what I do, right?
Right.
And so I think, and sometimes in the church has been not good with that too. Like, yeah, it's all about grace.
Our church?
No, the big C church in general. Like, okay, it's all about grace. Like, oh, yeah, we're good, we're
exactly.
good. You know, everything's is hunky-dory.
Yes.
And so there's going to, even for believers, we're going to be judged by how we live our lives. And so we can have confidence that we're going to be covered by Jesus' blood if we've truly accepted him and, you know, live our lives for him. And even that's like subjective. Like, well, is that really genuine when somebody just says a prayer and their life doesn't say anything, you know? So there's more to it. So it's not just like such a black and white type of thing, but I do think it doesn't get, it doesn't get explored enough, I would say, or that's the right word, but, or maybe it just gets ignored because it is kind of uncomfortable. Like, oh, wait, am I okay? Am I in good standing? Am I actually following the Lord? And we've all had seasons in our lives where that's more affirmative or less, you know, depending on our behaviors. But overall, am I still following God? And that's where I think sometimes people don't want to explore that. Oh, no, but grace, I'm good. I don't want to think about it.
How I kind of understand it or visualize it too is when we talk about our sins and the judgment, good and bad, and our sins are forgiven, grace covers it, it doesn't change that, like, those actions or those bad things happened, but it's forgiven. So like in a picture of if I wronged Damon and Damon forgives me, it doesn't change that I still did something bad or wrong. But because of Damon's forgiveness and grace, like it's like he's not holding it over my head or holding it against me. And so with God in his grace in sending his son in the gospel, the idea that it just goes away, I think, kind of leans to like the hyper grace end of things, where it can easily become like, well, then it doesn't matter what I do because
your accountability?
Yeah. Yeah. And so when I feel like Kyle's talking about the judgment, the picture I get is like, okay, there's good and bad. Yes. The bad is forgiven and the blood, you know, covers our sins and stuff. But the accountability part is, there was still choices or sin there, but God's like, I'm not going to hold it against you or over your head because of what Jesus did. And so when someone forgives you, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden that memory is wiped gone and like it's never happened
before.
Or even
the consequences.
Or the consequence, but it's like, I'm not going to hold it against you or I don't see you as tainted or whatever it is. And so, yeah.
How do you see yourself in that? You're, you know?
Yeah, and so I think that's where...
I mean, what would you personally, if you did something bad to Damon?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just pick on Damon today.
That's fine.
You did something bad.
Yeah.
What do you do? What do you do personally?
If I did something bad to Damon?
Yeah, like you...
Well, personally, I would like to apologize, and then I would want to ask...
One-on-one?
Yeah, or if I did something in a group setting, I would do it in a group setting.
Oh, okay.
Like if I embarrassed him in front of everybody or whatever.
Oh.
I've had to do that in the past.
Mm.
So are you going to apologize to me right now, Carol?
Why? What did I do? I don't know. See?
You're throwing me under the bus right now.
I don't know what I did to you.
I'm just messing.
I think the part that, like how I can reconcile kind of the discussion is, so before I say something to Damon, uh-huh. right, in my head, I can say, this would be really funny. I could make fun of him. I could da-da-da-da, which could be something that's bad. It could be sinful, right? Mm-hmm. And so in my head, I can think, okay, it doesn't really matter. Like Jesus forgave me of my sins. I could just whatever, right? It doesn't matter how he feels, whatever. I'm all good. Having some of the fear of the Lord, and this is a very minute situation, but having the fear of the Lord, I could say, okay, like I'm still being accounted for. Like if I have Jesus in my heart, if I want to be a light to him, whether he's a believer or not, how I choose to talk to him or what I do, like I'm going to have to take account for. And so having that, some of that fear in the Lord could give you the conviction, okay, maybe I shouldn't whatever, say this or do this or how I say it or whatever. I can still tell him maybe what I'm thinking or how I feel, but it might change just the way I go about it. And so that I can know that when I stand before the Lord and I take account to what I've done, in my understanding, I would be able to tell him this is why or how I was able to, and understanding who he is wanted me to direct Damon that way. Whereas if it was just like, I don't care, then whatever comes out would probably be more sinful or not approving to the Lord, right? When I have to stand before him. And so I would like to think that when I approach him, I would handle him that way. And if I didn't, I would want to personally apologize or say, ask him, hey, did I cross the line? Was there something that offended you? Or is there somebody else I need to apologize to? Like, were you embarrassed, clear the air that's not actually how I see him or view him or whatever it is, right? And so personally, that's how I would do it. And I would like to think in more circumstances and situations as believers, part of having that fear of the Lord is not to be scared necessarily because in the way that the world deems it as scared, but that, like you're saying, keeping you on more of the straight and narrow of like, okay, God is watching and he knows my heart, my intentions, and my actions. And so there will be a time where I have to come before the Lord. And so I want to be able to essentially present the best case of like, no, I tried to follow you the best I did, even in a small interaction with Damon, something right. like that.
So you're growing.
Yeah.
In the Lord.
Yes.
And in yourself.
Yes, in the fear of the Lord, in hearing him, and in all of that. I think it's all different variables that allow us to live a life, like Kyle was saying, like part of the sanctification mm-hmm. process that allows us to be more and more like him, even though I'm never going to be perfect.
Right. Yeah. So is part of that process a psychological process?
Yeah.
Definitely, right?
Yeah, there's, I mean,
it's not, so that was another.
Well, so I think to go down that road, we have to look at how God created us, right? So he created us spirit, soul, body, right? And mm-hmm. then even as our soul has our mind, our will, and our emotions, right? And all of those things can grow, right? Our spirit can grow because when we're born again, our spirit is this baby spirit and needs to grow. In similar way, our soul, which is our mind, our will, and emotions need to grow as well. And so those can grow into the likeness of Christ, mm-hmm. right? And so our mind, there is a process of our mind becoming and learning and growing to become more like Christ.
Right.
Right. And so there is an aspect of if there are areas of our thinking, of our where our mind goes that are not in alignment with Jesus, there are aspects that we need to shift or change and be renewed so that they do come into alignment with Jesus.
So because somewhere someone said something about suicide. So is that not a good topic? Anyways, so that no time, okay.
I don't remember that.
I think we talked about that last week in our one on one. Yeah.
But then, so then you're lining up But then, you know, mentally, well, when I go mental, before I didn't line up with anything, I was just feeling really bad. And like no
so
one
do you
loves,
think that do you
no
think that was your
me,
mind
no
or do you think that was your emotions?
Both, because I couldn't break out of it. I mean, you're just stuck. You're stuck, and then there's no one there to help you. Okay. You know what? I'm getting off a totally different topic, and maybe we shouldn't go there. But now everybody wants to know, right? No, but yeah, it's.
Well, can you give us a little bit deeper example other than just like I'm spiraling?
Well, no, yeah, then it's gonna get personal. So yeah, so yeah, it was very stressful for me working. I tried to do the right thing, blah, 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 and having to deal with management and all that stuff. And just the craziness of trying to be in charge of I was a charge nurse and trying to be in charge of an NICU, and you get like 5 deliveries and no one to take care of the babies. Anyways, so there was a lot of anxiety going on, and then the anxiety turned to frustration, and then not having to go anywhere, or you know, not no one, you know, having to help me. And I wasn't really connected with God, I don't think, back then. And then mentally, you know, this is like, I think I have like a serotonin, like a medical thing. So yeah, so I had to see a psychiatrist to figure out what was going on with me and why am I like this. And why was I feeling this way? And to help me, otherwise, you know, what am I going to do? You know, so that's where that suicide came up. So I can't find it in my notes, but someone talked about suicide. And so then when I was reading all these notes, it's like, so there's a mental part of it. A fear of the Lord, mm-hmm. or psychological. Is that not right? Because I asked, it's like, isn't it psychological? And someone said, no, it's spiritual. So.
I think we want our whole self to have the fear of the Lord.
There's multiple aspects, like all of it.
Yeah. In our mind, our will, our emotions, our spirit, to all come under and submit to the
Lord.
So
are you asking if the psychological is separate from the mental?
No, aren't they the same?
Or separate from the spiritual?
Spiritual.
Oh.
Right? Because when you're mental,
mm-hmm.
you're at some point, it's like, you know, I wasn't going to God. I do now. But
so you probably would handle it differently now than you did back then.
Well, yeah. So that's, yeah, but then.
I think there's different aspects of even that. So that's, you're basically describing a journey of maturing, right? So you've matured in different ways, and that's the same thing, like on the sanctification process. It's this journey, and it's in different ways, and you can look back and say, oh, yeah, I've grown in this area and in this area, and we have different personalities. We have different even chemical makeup inside our body. So they have all these different factors that make it a separate journey for each person. But I think it's that idea of, well, I want to pursue, in this case, it's I want to pursue God and his holiness. And so I want to pursue becoming more like Jesus. And a lot of people, if they're not Christians, they just want to pursue maybe being a better person. And so that can vary in different standards based on who they, you know, what they hold as like a moral standard. But I think
this is where I found I think it was in, it's under the Engaged to Flourish. So then mental health, so yeah, so I don't know, there's I'm sorry, it's like my notes are bad, but someone talked about mental health and suicide. So my question was, where's faith in difficult times?
And I think that's something that the Lord wants to grow us in. And that's even why we initially called this podcast Engage to Flourish, because what we wanted is that as people continue to listen, as people continue to grow, we want them to be able to experience God's presence and God's hear God's voice, even in the difficult times, right? Because a lot of times we associate it with, oh, when things are going good, I can hear God's voice, everything's good. And then when it's going bad, then God left me, where is he at? But what we wanted as people continue to grow in their faith is to be able to experience their faith even in the difficult times.
So why does that happen though?
Why does what happen?
What you just said. When everything's going good, oh, God is so good. Oh, it's so good. And then when things go bad, where is God? Where is God when I need him?
I mean, I think part of that is it's a very worldly perspective in terms of like coinciding like good times with God being good and then bad times with God being bad, right? That's a very worldly perspective. That's how the world tries to portray God, right? Oh, see this bad thing, you must have done something bad or right, trying to correlate that. But that's where God says, you know, my ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, because we can't understand sometimes why we're going through certain things or why certain things are happening to us. So that's part of what we wanted to do with this podcast, is to help people to grow in their faith so that when the bad times come, they're not turning around saying, God is so bad. God doesn't change, right? God doesn't change. He's good all the time.
Right.
So is it that God has turned away, or maybe in this bad time, I'm turning away from God and I'm not seeking
him? No, it's always us. God doesn't change. So,
right. So like, kind of like you were saying before, in the past, you'd go through something difficult and then you try to figure it out on your own, or you would do it yourself. Where now, as you've grown, difficult time comes, I'm running to God, right? And so that's how you've grown. Now you're not seeing things in the same way. You're going to handle things in a different way. And you're going to experience it differently because you're handling it differently too, because of your growth.
But even too, like say last time I went through a difficult time, I heard God really clearly. And so he comforted me through it and it was great. But now I'm going through it and he's not doing that. So what happened? Oh. Like, what did I do wrong? Where is he at? You know, so, but it might just be, no, I want you to stretch yourself now based on what you learned last time and press through, and then I'll review, you know, so there's things like that he does they seem like they contradict, but really he's maturing us. He's growing us. I mean, parents, we do that with our kids too. It's like, okay, well, let them fail, so to speak, and let them kind of have their way, and then step in and teach them and correct them afterwards. Right. Or sometimes you do it up front because, oh no, that's like more significant. I don't want them to get that injured, you know? So there's different ways. And I think God does the same approach to us, where we can't just look at the past and be able to predict, oh, he did it this way last time, so that's going to be the formula. Right. And I think I grew up more that way, thinking I'm very analytical. And so I used to think cause and effect a lot. And I like cause and effect because I can see the pattern. But then when you try to do it with things that don't follow patterns, it gets frustrating. And then that's with God. He's so much beyond. Sometimes there's a pattern and it's good, but then sometimes he'll purposely stop the pattern because he doesn't want us to be dependent on the pattern. He wants us to be dependent on him and to be able to recognize that, no, even if I do it differently, it's okay. Just stay close to me.
So then the question I have, what did you do? I mean, I like you. I like that little, like, what did you do? Because maybe that could help me.
What did I do with?
Well, you said, well, I had an issue. Where was God? So you just sat and prayed, and then God told you.
Oh, I mean, it's been different. I've pouted and said, why aren't you here? Why'd you leave me? Like, what's going on?
So you prayed?
Yeah, pray. Or sometimes I just get upset and like, what happened? Like, where were you? And then, so it's more of the after the fact, looking back and learning from and recognizing, oh no, like I'm still immature in this way. My faith or my trust is lacking, because I thought in the last time it was good because I felt him so close. So then I'm like, oh yeah, I'm good. I got good faith. But then maybe this time God's actually pulling away a little bit, because he wants to see, like, okay, where is your faith at? Maybe you're a little overconfident. And it's like, so it's and even that, describing it that way, it sounds kind of mean, but it's really, that's good parenting and like getting the foundation solid and really getting them to depend on the person leading, which is in this case, God.
And the reason why Jennifer. I ask this, because I really like to hear what people go through, because if it connects with me, then I'm like, okay, I'm kind of on the right path, or I'm kind of, and I'm not, because
you like it step by step laid out.
Yeah. And, you know, black and white. I don't, you know, because I don't know. This is the first time I'm going through all this stuff, you know, so.
I mean, I think there's a couple things that are highlighted to me as we're talking about this. One is God is so big that we can't put him in a box. So just because the formula worked one time, that doesn't mean it's always going to work, because God is so big. He's not just going to keep doing things exactly the same way all the time.
Yeah, I know, because we're individual, but I'm just, it's like, I don't know, because we don't really talk about our bad times and stuff.
Yeah, no.
And then it's like,
that means you haven't talked to me too much then.
Shoot. Okay, you want to come to lunch with us then. But I don't know. I just kind of like to hear. So it's like, oh, someone else is going through this difficult time. Someone else did this.
How did they handle it?
What I did too. And look how. And so it kind of, I don't know, confirmation or a little.
It feels like you're not alone.
Yeah, I'm not
iron
alone.
Iron sharpening iron.
Well, that, and I think I'm similar in some ways too. Sometimes I can't grasp, like if somebody gives it in maybe a vague way, I can't fill in the space, right? Well, what did that actually look like? Or so that's why I think even doing Pastor Barry's class was helpful, to hear how he did his own thing. But then it becomes hearing somebody else's and then taking it for yourself is one aspect. But then it's also hearing other people and then not getting attached to the methods, the processes, and that kind of thing. So I think there's value in it, as long as we're not holding that as like not an idol, but we're holding that
as the answer,
right? And so I appreciate your question, because I do think it's helpful. And on the spot, I was trying to think of a clearer example, like, or like a real specific, but I've gone through all those types of the way I described it. But it's it is helpful to hear other people share their good stuff, but it's helpful when they share their bad stuff, because the good stuff's easier to share. Like Brett, you've been sharing a lot lately about your struggles, and it's like, I know for people that helps, because it's not easy for you and fun for you, but it's like, that's life, that's reality, that we have to share the hard stuff too.
And then it's kind of like always the same answer. When it's the good stuff, it's like, oh yeah, you know, Jesus saves. You know, and it's like, okay, yeah, I know that. But, you know, I the more depth of it, how did it, you know, I don't know. I'm just like to be deeper in understanding. What? Why are you pointing to him?
I was trying to. I want to point out, like, this discussion is good. It's showing that we're chewing on some meat, right? There's not just like these clear, easy, simple answers. It's like,
even though she just said Jesus saves, come on, Kyle, she did give the easy answer.
Well, that, but then how does that play out is the hard part,
right? But that's what you get,
right? And so even talking about the good stuff and the bad stuff, and it's like, if we gravitate towards the easy, the milk, it's like, oh yeah, that makes me feel good. But then we're not actually growing and maturing. And I think even our discussion earlier, the wording, the linguistics, it can get in the way sometimes. But I think even wrestling with that is good, but not letting it become a barrier. And also, I think we all have to be aware of our own bent, where we like things a certain way, right? Oh, like you're a very detailed, structured person. You like it that way, and God honors that. But there's times where he's, no, I need you to step into the unknown or step into stuff that's not that way, and because that helps develop your faith. And so we need to recognize the things that the way God's wired us, and he'll a lot of times speak to us in those specific ways. But he also knows that we can get like in a rut that way, and we can get into like blinders. So he wants to also be like, okay, but I feel like you're a little too attached to that now. Like, let me shift it a little bit. Yeah. And then sometimes I think we get frustrated with God because, hey, like, I'm not used to this. Like, what's going on?
No, I like constructive criticism, Because then I kind of...
Oh, if I knew that.
What? See, no, really. If I'm going the wrong path, yeah. I would like someone to say so. Not necessarily Damon all the time. Sheesh.
Well, okay, so as we're talking, it brought to mind a situation that happened recently. So to preface it, I think one of the things that I wanted to say is that God cares more about our character than our circumstances sometimes. Mm-hmm. Right? And so... sometimes he allows us to go through certain circumstances because he knows it's going to help us to grow in our character, mm-hmm. right? And so a situation you had talked about earlier was like, what happens when you spiral, mm-hmm. right? And it's like, I don't think the Lord wants us to continually be in these places where we're going to keep spiraling, mm-hmm. right? But so there's times where he allows us to go through that to show us that's an area that we can grow in, right? And so recently there was a time where I was kind of spiraling and I was like, God, where are you? I've been going through different seasons where I've done this. Is there something I need to do? Is there something? And I was getting nothing. And then it was just like, oh, I'm spiraling. And then after a while, I felt like he gave me a picture and it was Jesus on the boat when the storm is coming and he's sleeping, right? And the disciples are freaking out and they're panicking and he's sleeping. And then I felt like he said, I want you to be able to rest in the midst of a storm, like Jesus. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm not restful right now. I'm like spiraling. I feel like I'm like the disciples that are going crazy. Like, Jesus, take this away from me. End the storm. And Jesus is like, I'm just chilling. I'm sleeping, right? Like, and I felt like he was saying, that's the type of character that I want to grow in you, is that you're able to rest in the midst of a storm. And so... it's like, okay, what are some of the things that I need to do in order to do that? And I just kept hearing, rest in me. I was like, okay, what does that mean? What does that mean, right? Like, there's all this crazy stuff going on, super busy, super tired. Rest in me. What does that look like? Rest in me. What am I supposed to do? Rest in me, right? Like, and that's what I kept hearing, right? And so what it helped me to recognize, like, okay, there's all... for me, there's a part of me that is intentional. So I do like to do things. I do like to try things, or I do like to, oh, maybe I should do this. But the area that the Lord wanted to grow in me is not that, not do more. It's rest in me. Trust me with the situation. Trust me that I have you in mind, that I have your good in mind. So sometimes it might be do this, but sometimes it just might be rest in me. Right. And then I heard, you know, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden. It's like, oh, yeah, that's what I need right now. Right. And so just even hearing that's the picture that the Lord wants for me. It's like, oh, that's what he's growing me into, is the type of person that can rest in the midst of this storm. It's like, oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Right. And so sometimes we just have to be open to hearing his voice in that moment when things feel like they're spiraling, it's going crazy, all these different circumstances, and he might be saying something totally different, right? Mm-hmm. Not do this, but for me it was, hey, rest in me. So, Brett, you look like you have something to say, and Kyle's pointing at you.
No, I was just going to tell Carol, I'm currently at this moment in the midst of... just all that you're talking about. I think, well, you had said, what do you do when, like, bad, or something to the effect of, what do you do when bad things happen? Mm-hmm. I think for me personally, normally it's, okay, go to God, ask different people, you know, pray, all of those things. And then there comes times where, not that those things don't do anything, but there's no answer that you can actually tangibly seek or find. And so for me, what came to mind to me, for myself personally, that I found And sorry, I'm not giving you an answer. I'm just giving you testimony to what you're talking about. I was really wrestling this past weekend with hope. I mean, essentially the fruit of the Spirit, and taking a look at how I experienced those things, mainly hope, peace, patience. And I recognize that a lot of it comes from, or it's attached with, a circumstance. And so when we say we have, when I say that I have hope in the Lord, a lot of times it's attached with, I'm hoping for this in the Lord, or I'm bringing this to the Lord and asking him for hope. And the current situation that I'm in, there's definitely feelings of hopelessness where I ask myself, if what I'm hoping for never happens, am I really finding my hope in the Lord? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So is my hope in the Lord based off of the circumstance that what I'm hoping for? Or is my hope actually just in the Lord? Because if that circumstance never comes to fruition, does that mean then I do not have hope in the Lord?
Oh. Yeah.
Right? And so that's where I'm wrestling with. I feel like there's a lot of these characteristics that I actually don't do a good job of finding it in the Lord.
Characteristics? Your character?
The fruit of the Spirit.
The fruit of Spirit. Like
peace,
the
characteristics. Love.
Like, oh. I actually don't do a good job of finding that in the Lord. It's more, it's through the Lord and it's of the Lord, but it's not just him alone. So I feel like there's a lot of things that in my own mind of things that I experience that I know the Lord wants me to experience, that I feel like certain circumstances are being stripped away to where it's not based off of something else, but is it, can I find it just in him? So can I find my hope and joy just in the Lord, not in because this is happening, or God gave me this and so now I can have joy, or God answered my prayer so now I can have hope. It's like, okay, if none of those circumstances take place, can I find it in the Lord? And I'm finding that I'm not sure. That's where I'm in the current place where it's hard and I'm not sure if, and I don't think I do it well, or maybe I thought I did it better than I do. And so now with the circumstances, the decisions that I have to make, the things that I'm thinking about, it's stripping some of that down to like, do you really find it in the Lord? And there's a part of me that's like, I don't think I do enough.
So it sounds very revealing then.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's sobering because it's like, there is a, like, I'll be honest, there's thoughts where I'm like, I don't think I do. Like, do you have hope? Like, to me, I'm like, what does that even look like? Like, I feel like my mind is being like blown in the sense of like, I don't understand what that even looks like.
But isn't that okay that you don't, because that's your season that you're in right now?
It's okay, but that's where when you're being in the season, when you're dealing with something bad, it doesn't feel okay.
Oh,
it doesn't feel like it's all good. When you feel like you don't have hope, what do you have to look forward to then? And so that's where the Lord's like, it's like this, okay, are you going to have hope in me for who I am or what I can do? But if it's not happening, then does that destroy you believing in me and who I am?
And so, well, does it? No.
No, but I'm saying I'm saying honest. I in my head I know it doesn't. Mm-hmm. But the way that it feels and how much our circumstances dictate, okay, in the good times God is good, and in the bad times where is God? That's where I'm at. I'm in the bad times where I'm like, I don't know where God is, and I'm searching for it, but I'm not sure. And so in those places, it's, I think, like they're saying, there's a refining, there's a growing, there's a greater sense of faith and trust that needs to be built. And so me just speaking honestly is, I don't feel like that. I don't feel like I have a greater trust. I don't feel like I have more hope. Those things don't feel like they're happening currently as we're talking. In my head, theoretically, do I know or wish for it or know who God's character is? It's like, yes, but there's this gap and it's like, when you're asking, what do you do when you're in a bad situation? Yeah. It's mm-hmm. like, you have, I don't know exactly what to do, but I think, you know, reaching out to people, talking to people, obviously continuing to pray, recognizing that there is a level of faith. And I think faith is one of the biggest things that, that needs to take place, because it's having faith in the things that are not seen, right? I'm not seeing anything change or the things that mm-hmm. I want. And so it's like really trying to hold close to God's character and draw closer to that, because my circumstance isn't emphasizing that, or it isn't pushing me towards that. But instead it's like, okay, no, I need to, you know, in this season, better surrender certain things, wholeheartedly surrender.
Surrender.
Yeah. Wholeheartedly surrender a lot of that, and, you know, and go to the Lord in that way. And so yeah. what you're talking about, I'm currently in. And so if you have any answers, you can let me know and help me out. But
surrender, you know, that's, it's not funny. So Kyle, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, it was 2 Sundays ago.
For some reason, he comes up to me, we were in worship, and he says something, and then the Lord gave a word to him, and he said, surrender. Mm. And I'm like, okay, so I read in my little Hobonichi cousin Teko book. Anyway, you know how we have to keep our book, right? So then I wrote it, and then Jody, last week, Sunday, she says, surrender. So I told Kyle, right? Didn't I tell you last week? I went up to you. Hey, someone else says surrender. And it's like, okay, that's 2 times. And it's then you said surrender. Mm.
Carol, is there something that you need to surrender?
Yeah, she already knows. Like when I came up to her, she goes, oh, I already know what that's about. And so you're on a journey that God's.
That's for Brent.
Yeah.
No?
Oh, yeah, it's for all of us.
It's a season that our whole church is going through this year.
What, surrendering?
Wholehearted surrender.
That's one of our themes for this whole year is wholehearted surrender.
I missed that. Which?
Pastor Barry said it multiple times.
In January, he went over it.
Man, I better go back to that service.
David, you got to like elbow her during the service, make sure she's not nodding off.
Maybe I missed it. I think
all right,
gone.
So two of our themes for this year.
Shoot.
Are wholehearted surrender and walking in the light or living in the light, right?
Yes.
Yes. And going through of God will help us in those areas.
Yes, for sure.
I think it's interesting when you were just describing your journey, and thanks for sharing that, Brett, because I think that's what a lot of us go through, but we don't know how to even discuss it or talk about it. But that's really the process of chewing on the meat. It's because you know the right answer. That's mm-hmm. like the milk. It's like, oh, I know what I'm supposed to say. I know how I'm supposed to feel. But I don't feel that way. But then we can just kind of mask over it. Well, yeah, but I know what I'm supposed to do, so I'm just going to make myself go that direction. That's mm-hmm. like, that's not the maturity. Well, that short circuits the maturity, because you actually have to go through what you're doing right now and wrestling with, I don't even know if I'm living this out. I don't even know if this is actually what I know I'm supposed to believe. I don't know if I'm actually believing that. Mm-hmm. And that's where you get down to the nitty gritty of like, where is my faith? Mm-hmm. What is the foundation? And that's actually where true like growth happens.
And I think in regards to fruit of the Spirit, I think part of the reason that it's being highlighted for you is because the Lord wants more of that for you. Mm. Right. And so he's having you wrestle with it and see where you're at to say, I want you to grow in this area. So I think that's why it's being highlighted, is because he wants more of the fruit of the Spirit in your life, Brett. Mm. You too, Carol. Hmm?
But not for me.
And if you want to hear the wrap-up for Fruit of the Spirit, our multi-gen plug. This Sunday, we are going to be doing the wrap-up with Fruit of the Spirit and our actual final one, gentleness.
Oh. That's good.
All right, Carol, but we are getting a little long on time. Do you have a final question for us that you want to go over before we sign off this time?
No, because it'll take... No. No.
Or even, do you have another question that we don't even have to go that deep into it, but that might get other people thinking about
Ephesians 13 by Dragon. I'm sorry. What? I'm sorry.
I said, or you can even share the question, but we don't go deep into it. But that gives our listeners something else to chew on, some more meat for this week.
No, I
ask your hardest question. <Just kidding.
coughs> No, that's it.
Okay. Well,
I'll
share one more about, I think, the whole idea of pursuit, that God wants us to pursue him. So I think, Brett, that's, you're on that journey, and it's, you can short circuit it by just saying, no, I'm tapping out. I'm just going to stay in the path I'm at, and I'm not going to go any further. But it, I think it's day, so for this coming week on holiness, it's day 6. It says, I gotta take my glasses off. Without chasing after behavioral holiness with the intent to apprehend, we cannot enter into the presence of the Lord. It's not about when we arrive at the place of perfect holiness, but rather when we make it our heart's pursuit. So I think that's really what God wants it to turn into for us, that we experience his holiness on some level, and then it's like, I want more of that. And we're just on a journey towards it, and it's not going to be a straight line. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be up and down. But I just feel like he wants us to get to that place where we actually desire more of his holiness, more of our sanctification. Mm-hmm. And if we can get to that where we long for it, man, like, our lives are going to be transformed.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. I think that's that. I do think that's a good place for us to close off this episode. You know, we gave you guys a lot of meat to chew on this week, a lot of things to think about. So if you have any questions off of anything that we talked about today, come on the podcast or send us an email. Let us know, you know, during this series and probably for at least the rest of this year, we're going to be digging through some meat. So we are going to be chewing on different things. We're going to be wrestling with a lot of stuff. So we'd always love to have more people to come on and wrestle with it together. So thanks again, Carol, for coming on and giving us some things to chew on and talk about. You know, you're always welcome to come back on, and David's always welcome to come on too. He's sitting in the chair right behind her, so we're just kind of calling him out a little bit. But yeah, it is a legitimate request though, David. We would love to have you on sometime. But that's about it for this episode. Thanks again, Carol, for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
So until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.